Thank you, Brian, for that song, number 86, one of my favorite hymns. These, though we bring them in trembling and fearfulness, he will accept for the name that is dear. Mornings of joy give for evenings of tearfulness, trust for our trembling and hope for our fear. Welcome to each one this morning. It looks like it's a small little group this morning, so that's nice. Thank you all for coming out. I trust that we will be blessed by the service this morning. On the northwest side of the Dead Sea, there was a place called Qumran. Some of you may have read about this, where a small colony of fundamentalist mystic Jews lived for about several hundred years before Christ came, and as far as we know, they were there for about 100 years after he left. This group was known as the Essenes, and they are responsible for preserving the scrolls that were later found in the caves there, which became known as the Dead Sea Scrolls. This group of Jews was very conservative and very strict and had added many additional laws to the law of Moses in order, as they felt, to properly serve God and each other. If the Jews of the day, if you would think of them as the Anabaptists, the Essenes would have been the Schwarzentruber Amish. They were very strict, very conservative. If you want to learn more about this group, the historian Josephus has a lot to say about them and how they lived. And among the many peculiarities of this group, the thing that stood out to me as I was reading about them was their guidelines on showing emotions and the punishments which were handed down for showing any emotion. There was very little room for expressing emotion, including laughter, talking too loudly in a group. You can go read about them. Emotions of any kind were seen in almost exclusively negative light. And though they had, I would say, many admirable qualities about them, I don't think this is a group that we would have wanted to be a part of. And it doesn't seem like it was a group that Jesus approved of or spent much time with. So, why bring up the Essenes? Well, the question that I've been pondering for some time now is, what is the role or the place of emotions in the life of the Christian? Are we to feel emotions? And if so, are we to show any emotion? What good are they anyways? If we fast forward to our day, we have something entirely different from the Essenes. Beginning in the 1960s, we have what has been called the charismatic movement. And they have a different take on emotions, among other things. Not only are emotions not to be stifled, they are a prerequisite for knowing God. If the drumbeat can't be heard a block over and the building pulsating with energy and emotion, if people aren't speaking in 4 different tongues and falling over and doing cartwheels down the aisle, then the Spirit of God must not be moving. So which is it? What is the role of emotion in the Christian's life? Well, I'm going to suggest this morning that it's neither of the 2 examples that I gave. I believe there must be a middle ground between the ditches. But where? And this is not something that I have an answer on exactly, but rather it's an ongoing investigation in my own life to try and figure out some of these questions. I've been taught from little on up not to allow my emotions to control me, and rightfully so. If I was excited, calm down. If I was calm, time to get to work. If I was grumpy, put a smile on your face. If I was smiling, why are you so happy? Even out those emotions. And as I became adult and was able to reason and process things in a more logical way, I think I even attempted to even out my emotions beyond what I was taught. Because what good are they anyway? If I'm feeling up, that just means I'm soon going to be down. If I'm down, I just have to keep going. If I'm feeling happy about some accomplishment, am I just living in pride? If I'm discouraged over a failure, am I just lacking faith? Or should I be dismayed over the state of my life? And however I'm feeling, am I allowed to show it? Am I a hypocrite if I don't express my emotions or my feelings in some way? Should I just try to tamp down all of my feelings and on the surface always express the same emotion? Just some form of serene happiness? But is unenthused happiness the only emotion that we are supposed to express? I know some of the men here are probably confused about what I'm talking about, having never dealt with emotion. But for most of us, you probably know what I'm talking about and felt something similar. So why? What is the place of emotions in our life? Well, I'm not entirely sure. I didn't come here with answers this morning. I came here with a lot of questions. But what we know is that we are made in the image of God. And we know from Scripture that our God is an emotional being. It grieved him at his heart, Genesis says, that he had made man. He was angry with the children of Israel on numerous occasions. In Judges, God was moved to pity by his people's groanings. Several different places we find that he is a jealous God, and he will not give his glory to another. It says, it pleased the Lord when Solomon asked for wisdom. He takes pleasure in those that fear him. He is a joyful God and says he will rejoice over us with gladness and loud singing. And we know from Christ that he loves with an everlasting love. So our God is emotional, and he made us with emotions. And we also see in Scripture that the holy men of God were emotional men, and they weren't even afraid to show it. And yet, somehow, they weren't led by their emotions. They didn't allow their emotions to control them. They were able to walk closely with God while expressing their emotions. How? How can these things be? Well, there's a lot more that we could say in the way of introduction to this subject, but I think that's all I will say this morning. For a short message, turn with me to John chapter 11. What is Jesus, our perfect example? What is his relationship with his emotions? The title, if you must, is Jesus Wept. We know this story well. Jesus allows his friend Lazarus to die so that he might raise him from the dead for the glory of God and to help bring about his own death, that he might rise in order to bring glory to God and salvation for those who were dead. We break in here at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. This is the God who spoke the universe into existence and holds all things together by the word of his power. And he laid it all aside, and he became a man with real feelings and real emotions. And he came and he stood beside the grave of his friend who he had let die. Knowing that he was about to raise him from the dead, he paused and he felt the pain and the sorrow of sin and death in a fallen world, though he himself knew no sin. And he allowed the human emotions of sadness and loss and heartache to wash over him and express those emotions. He didn't say, Cheer up, I'm about to raise him from the dead. He didn't say, Why are you crying? Don't you know that eternal life is better than this life? No, he stood and he wept. Not only did I create you with emotions, but I'm not too big to show it. So where is the middle ground? What is the proper place of emotion in our lives? I'm not always sure. But my encouragement to myself as I think about this is not to fear my emotions, but rather to embrace them, recognizing that they are from God. And not allow myself to be controlled by them as I walk by faith, and yet allow God to use them as a gauge in my own life to inform me where I'm at and how I'm doing. And be willing to express my emotions to my Heavenly Father because He was willing to express them for me.